missions to Mars, driverless cars, AI chatbots. Feels like we're already living in the future. Well, Robinhood is built for the future of trading. Robinhood's intuitive design makes trading seamless. Spot opportunities and take control of your trades with tools like screeners, simulated returns, and strategy builder. On Robinhood, traders have access to hundreds of popular stocks and ETFs 24 hours a day, 5 days a week. So you can keep up with today's fast-paced markets. You can now even trade stocks and crypto all in one place with the new desktop platform, Robinhood Legend. The future of trading is fast, powerful, and precise. Experience it now on Robinhood. Investing is risky. Robinhood Financial LLC member SIPC is a registered broker-dealer. Trading during extended hours involves additional risks. Cryptocurrency services are offered through an account with Robinhood Crypto LLC, NMLS ID 1702840. Robinhood Crypto is licensed to engage in virtual currency business activity by the New York State Department of Financial Services.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
This is Joshua Palmer, and you're listening to Roster Watch.
Ladies and gentlemen, citizens of the universe, this is Roster Watch.
My name is Alex Dunlap. I'm joined by Cody Carpentier. And Cody, the Browns are in a lose-lose-lose spot.
They are. They're in a lose-lose-lose spot because they overpaid for Deshaun Watson. That it maybe seems like they might get out of that contract. They trade for Kenny Pickett. They trade DTR to the Eagles. They get Kenny Pickett in the last few days. Kenny Pickett comes out today and does a little presser, little media scrum here. And he says that the Browns told him he'd have a chance to compete for the starting job. Sure, you can compete, Kenny. But also some notes that was the bigger takeaway here was Charles Robinson from Yahoo says that the Falcons are trying to squeeze the Browns and the Steelers by trying to trigger a Kirk Cousins $10 million salary for 2026, trying to push Kirk onto those two teams because obviously he has great connections with Stefanski in Cleveland. And the Steelers, if they lose out on the Rodgers situation, they may be looking for Kirk rather than going back to Russ. There's a little carousel of quarterbacks that need to be dealt with here, and Kirk's one of them, Russ is one of them, Rodgers is one of them. The Giants are open, the Steelers are open, the Browns seem to be open, and I think what it's all hinging on, Alex, it feels like is the damn Minnesota spot. It feels like if Minnesota wants Rodgers, Rodgers wants Minnesota. That's kind of where I'm reading between the tea leaves right now, and I think to me it all ties back to Kirk.
Back to the Kenny Pickett thing. I can't imagine. I mean, we said before, it's like, I know Pittsburgh, Cleveland, probably similar locations, you know, similar having to deal with weather, outdoor stuff, snowy in the winter. And we just think back to his draft process and, you know, the Burger King hands, the 8.5-inch hands. And I just think, man, you get to the end of the season there in Cleveland when that wind starts to swirl, and I guess they're going to have a new stadium sooner or later that they're talking about in closing it. But that's far enough into the future to where you would say that, you know, Kenny Pickett's going to have to deal with this for a little while. Those November winds coming off the lake there and all that snow. They're in a tough spot, man. And just whenever we got the news yesterday about the Russell Wilson stuff and all that, I just continue to think it's, it not only has to, I thought you were going to, you said it all hinges on Aaron Rodgers. In some ways, I kind of think some of this also hinges on what Tennessee's going to do at one with the first pick. And if there's going to be a chance for Cam Ward to go to Cleveland, how does that factor into your analysis of all this?
I guess what I would ask you is, if that's the thought here, do you think that the Kirk, Russ, Rodgers trifecta are just going to be on sit on your hands watch until post draft?
Oh man, I hope not. I'd like, because just for me, I would like to get things straight and have things figured out about. So we're drafting these guys in best ball and stuff right now, and you know the murky quarterback situations makes it, you know,
certainly puts a wrench in everything if nobody signs.
Well,
for our mock drafts too.
For the Huddle Report contest, it makes it tough, right?
At that point, Derek Carr, there's rumors about this Derek Carr post June 1 thing as well, that he's potentially on the market. And it's like, okay, well, if you enter that into the chat, it's like
with New Orleans picking at 9, all the talk about Shedeur Sanders slipping, it becomes a. But then Derek Carr, if you were the, I hate it, it all feels gross and barfy, but if you were the Browns, wouldn't you rather have Derek Carr than Russell Wilson?
Yeah. I mean, I would rather, this is kind of why I put the thumbnail for what it is today. Lose, lose, lose. It's literally Russ, Kirk, and Deshaun Watson. And
how does the Kirk thing all work? You said Charles Robinson wrote something about this. Like, how does it work exactly? How are they putting a squeeze on anybody right now?
Because the Falcons have sole control of Kirk. They can just tell Kirk to, you know, do whatever they want him to do. He can't do anything. Like, they don't have to cut him. They can just sit there and hold him. They want to get something.
He's the Browns.
Huh?
I guess I don't understand how it squeezes the Browns.
They're trying to trigger the Falcons know the way the call. Okay, so the way the post was written up from Charles Robinson. Let me pull it up here. It was basically written because there's connections in the Falcons front office and the Browns, and with the Falcons front office and the Steelers. Charles Robinson said, I thought the Falcons were bluffing about keeping Kirk Cousins. I don't think that anymore. They're going to roll right through Sunday's deadline to lock in another $10 million in 2026 guaranteed salary and see where it goes. Either he's a pricey backup or a trade candidate. And that turned into him bringing up two teams in the Falcons and the Steelers because of connections to the front office. I'm trying to find the exact post that Yahoo made, because Yahoo took his column and enhanced it. Sorry. I just took the snippet off of it. But the point is more so like there's a connection from the Falcons front office to the Steelers that they believe that if the Steelers lose out on Aaron Rodgers sweepstakes, which again brings in that Minnesota thing, because it feels like it's the Giants are there, but the Giants really aren't really there. It feels like it's Steelers, or if Minnesota is welcoming of Rodgers, that Rodgers may go that direction because that team's obviously in a better state situation than the other two. If that happens, then the Steelers are like, okay, are we going back to Russ? Are we drafting somebody? Are we going to trade for Kirk Cousins? And the Browns, on the other hand,
do you think Kirk Cousins would agree to a trade to the Steelers?
I'm not sure. And then the Browns side of things, it's they're I think hosting Russ like today or tomorrow, and then he's going to the Giants for a visit after that. They have Watson. They just traded for Pickett. They're going to add something else. And being in the sweepstakes of Russ and being in the conversation for a Kirk tells me maybe they finished up their notes on Shedeur, and Shedeur is not quite on par with these two guys in their opinion. And maybe they view their team in a different space. Maybe the conversation, you know, the Adam Schefter report that said the Browns will draft a quarterback at 2. Remember that? That was pre-Myles Garrett signs contract.
Yeah.
Hey, Miles, here's a big fat deal. We're trying to win now. Miles, all right, well, guess what we're not going to do? Draft a rookie quarterback.
Well, I get
– hypothetical. I don't know if that's true or not. I'm just saying.
Or you could see it as a move where it's like, we have the money freed up to give Miles the deal that they had to come in with a good deal for him because he wanted out, you know?
Yeah.
And so it could be something like, well, he's going to be we've heard what Andrew Berry said. We talked to, you know, we were able to address him at the combine. He's like, we are a better team with Myles Garrett. Myles Garrett is part of our plans moving forward. We have no intentions of him not being a Cleveland Brown, all that stuff, right? I feel like they view his presence as fundamental to what they're going to do, whether they're win now or not. I just don't see how you can see yourself as a win now team if you're Cleveland. And so I think another way to look at it would be to say, okay, we're going to get our cheap quarterback piece in place if all goes swimmingly and he's awesome and he's everything that we want him to be, we still have 3 years of a cheap contract before we're going to have to do anything with him. And if we really wanted to push it, you know, you got the 4 years and the fifth year option. I almost lean towards thinking that would be the more proper way to assess where you are as far as a roster and where you are, right? Especially in the AFC right now. You can tell me that the Cleveland Browns think they can bring in Russell Wilson, and just because they bring back Myles Garrett, they're win now? Are you kidding me?
I'm not. I mean, there are 32 teams, right? And what do they say every year? They say that there's 8 teams competing for the championship every year, usually, like truly competing. Browns definitely don't feel like one of those 8.
No.
No matter what happens. And that's why I think it's a lose, 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 because I think they feel like they're in a, hey, we can get there situation, and they're not. No matter if it's Russ, if it's Kenny, if it's Kirk, if it's Shador, if it's Deshaun, it doesn't matter who it is. Lose, lose, lose situation in Cleveland.
But don't you think? I just don't understand the whole thing. With the Cleveland. I don't think that Cousins would want to go there unless they would want to.
They have a connection with Stefanski. I mean, he wants to start. Period. Right. And if you look at the Cleveland situation, like, that's a starting spot in a familiar offense.
Man, am I just a super lazy person to think, man, I'm on a 4-year, $180 million deal here. If they want me to sit around and hold a clipboard and be a backup, I'd rather just collect money being a backup and not putting my body at risk for a bad team. Yes, I'm just not built the same way.
I think everybody's thinking the same thing.
What?
I think everybody's thinking the same thing, but I don't know. Yeah. I mean, it's kind of the if they're willing to pay you, it is what it is. I'm sure he's not really upset. I'm sure he's like, hey, if you're not gonna cut me by Sunday, I'm gonna get a $10 million check. Like, I'll do whatever you want.
Yeah, man, I'm cool.
I'll be a complete ass in this locker room, but like
you like that? I just cashed that check.
That's stupid, but it is. I mean, it's business, I guess. They're trying to. How much is a fourth round pick worth, I guess. I don't know.
It's all right. So Cleveland's in trouble. Can we just, before we get into any of this other news of the day, I wanted to get to it yesterday. Can we stick in the state of Ohio and can we have this conversation that I've been wanting to have about Quinshon Judkins and Travion Henderson?
What's up?
Okay. So as I'm going through and I'm watching them, and as I'm just looking at Underdog and just kind of looking at the general consensus, Cody, right now, I think is it's pretty obvious that it hasn't changed, that people like Travion Henderson better than Quinshon Judkins, right? That's
the NFL consensus right now.
Okay. And so what I've noticed is they're going closer and closer together in these Underdog drafts. It feels like when I see people doing these dynasty rookie mock drafts, they're going closer and closer. Right now, the ADPs for these two guys are Quinshon Judkins is currently at 70, right around 70. And we have Travion Henderson at 63. So these two guys are converging a little bit. It's more that Judkins is kind of moving up. And obviously it has to do with the fact that Judkins goes to the combine, racks off a 91st percentile speed score. People start kind of just looking into his profile. And I was actually interested to read, you know, I haven't talked to Trash Man much about what he thinks about these running back prospects and stuff like that. And he, you know, whenever he looks at Quinshon, he sees the same things that I do, professional runner. And the more and more I've watched him, I'm just like, okay, if we have Quinshon and we have Travion, I think those are the two. Whenever you hear guys like McShay and stuff saying there could be four running backs in the first round of this draft, I think that the play we know about Ashton Jeanty, we know about Omarion Hampton. Travion's always kind of been part of the conversation that maybe a team would go into round one. I see Travion more, and I'd be interested to hear what you think about. Do you think that Alvin Kamara is a good comp for Travion Henderson?
That's my comp for him.
Okay. So
that's my comp for him. I think the contact balance, he's got the best contact balance in the class that I've seen so far. When I look at these guys like on the surface as the prospect, as a player on the football field, as a runner of the ball, I lean Quinshon Judkins. But as far as the mental capacity, the pass catching, and the pass protection, that's what puts Travion Henderson ahead for me. And this has been my take on this running back situation here for these two guys. I think everybody knows, Jeanty's here. McShay has said that he thinks coming out of the combine, people told him in the NFL circles that there's more conversation about Hampton over Jeanty than there is not, which is interesting. But then the next two is like pretty consensus among people that are hashtag ball knowers and not just, Twitter highlight watchers, that Quinshon and Travion are the next two guys. And for me, my take is exactly how our rankings portray them right now, which is 3.5, 3.5. Why is that? Because you ranked 1-3, I ranked 1-3, you ranked 1-4, I ranked 1-4, right?
And I'm not sure it's right for me to rank, because I put Judkins, and that was at a time right after I just got done watching him. I'm like, dude, this guy reminds me.
This is what I'm saying. This is the point. It's not about you being right or me being right. It's about 3.5. It's not about who you put 3 or who I put 3. It's about 3.5. It's about 3A, 3B. It doesn't matter. The different backs that are both going to be really good in the NFL, and that can these both of these things can be true. It doesn't matter who's 3. It doesn't matter who's 4. And that's what my point is saying. Like, everybody knows it's Jeanty, Hampton, and then, like I said, the next group is just these two guys by themselves, and I don't care how you have it. They both bring a lot of different stuff to the table, and I love them both.
With Judkins, whenever I was just stacking them up in my head, I thought, okay, well, Trash Man says he's a Marshawn Lynch. I wasn't sure that's exactly right. I kind of see him as a Nick Chubb sort of meets Marion Barber. As far as my comps for Quinshon. And then I just get to seeing, like, in the sheet you put in the number of thousand yard seasons. Like a guy that just goes for 1,000 yard seasons every single year.
And the reason that I put that in there is because when we did the Breakout Finder project at Player Profiler, multiple 1,000 yard seasons was the biggest correlator to breakouts at running back.
The one thing that I was just, as I was editing Trash Man's article, well, for one, also when I went through and put in all of the stuff for our breakout ages for running backs, because I know most people just don't do breakout scores for running backs, but it's generally something that's more used for wide receivers. But we found in the past that the younger breakouts are important. And what's interesting is that out of this whole draft class, Travion and Quinshon have they were on September 1st of their breakout year. Quinshon was 18.85. Travion Henderson was 18.86, which I believe. Yeah. So the youngest of anybody. So in this class, if we're just talking about September 1st of the year that they broke out, the top guys in this draft. So the guys who were, Quinshon was the youngest. Travion was second youngest. Devin Neal at Kansas was third youngest, 19.05. LaQuint Allen, your guy, Darrington Evans, 19.07. Do you think a good comp for LaQuint Allen? I was thinking about it, and this might be bad, and it might be because where did Izzy Abandikanda go to college?
Pittsburgh.
Okay. Does he remind you a little bit of a Abanacanda?
I think he's a little bit taller. I think he's got like 2 inches on him.
Just but the way he runs, and kind of how skinny his lower legs are.
I mean, I think a little bit I can see it, but also the one thing I remember about Abanacanda that's different than LeQuint is that Abanacanda kind of had that like rocket propulsion coming out of his rear end when he'd get through a gap. I don't see that quite with LeQuint. I think the comps that are in the staff comp list right now, McIntosh and Beatty, are actually pretty fire.
Okay. And then besides the other guys would be Trevor Etienne, Bashal Tootin had a young breakout age, all this. I was interested in just doing the breakout age or whatever. Like the one kind of negative I have on my check marks here for RJ Harvey from UCF is he's like among the worst in this whole class for it. So it's obviously not the end all be all, but you know, like those two things, but then also just, I just think Quinshon is so just, I keep saying professional runner, but it's just why it reminds me of Nick Chubb. It's like he's great ball security, instinctive, good vision, and just much faster than I thought he would be. The only thing that worries me is that Trashman talked about his when on film, the yards per carry was kind of not quite as good for him versus the better opponents, the better defenses that he faced, which was a little bit of something that I was considering going back and forth between the two guys. And also the other thing was, and I think that the reason why, to be honest, man, I see Ashton Jeanty as being more of a supercharged Marshawn Lynch than I see Marshawn Lynch in Quinshon Judkins. Do you think that at all? No,
I think that's fair.
It's the way he bounces off everybody, and like it's like every run is a beast quake.
Yeah, I think that's fair. From what we've seen, we haven't seen the consistency against, you know, SEC and Big Ten opponents like we have against for Quinshon.
Yeah.
So as far as translation, I'm not trying to knock Ashton Jeanty by any means. I truthfully, Alex, you know, and we've been talking about this running back class for 2 months. We'll talk about it for the next 2 months and into the season. I truthfully, among these four guys, you could, how do I want to phrase this? You could like tell me any outcome, any range of outcomes. Amarian Hampton rushes for 2,000 yards in the next 3 years. Yep. Quinshon Judkins, running back one in fantasy football in the next 3 years. Yep. Ashton Jeanty does what he does. Yep. Trey Henderson, same thing. RB1 fantasy football. Yep.
What if I told you Ashton Jeanty comes in and he's mid
and he's the fourth best. He's the fourth best among these four. Totally see it. Which is maniacal because it's like saying that, you know, Caleb Williams is bad or like Marvin Harrison's not the running back one or the receiver one, but it's like, yeah, we know Jenty's good. I don't think he's a Saquon. I don't think he's a Eric Dickerson. I don't think he's a Marcus Dupree. I don't think he's this like world beater because he didn't do it at, you know, the highest of levels. He did it against an Oregon team that, you know, is good, and it was consistently against Mountain West. And I get it. I get the talent. I get the prospects of what he can do and what he can't do. But when you look at what his body type is going to the NFL, it's not exactly for me. Like, I don't want a 5'8", 210-pound back. You know, like, that's not my ideal build. So could you tell me that, you know, in the fall, this guy's 5'8", and he's down to, like, 207, and he's the starting bell cow. Like, think about that. He's the starting bell cow for a team where his main talent is being able to take on 250, 300 carries and break tackles. It's like, okay, I get it. But in the NFL, I need you to be able to catch passes out of the backfield, protect, and break tackles at the NFL level, not in the Mountain West level. So it's like I can tell myself a story in any direction for Ashton Jeanty. But what I'm saying is I also believe all four of these guys have the range of outcomes of being the top dog as well.
Yeah, it's super interesting. I just wanted to make sure I have some – there's some part of me that wants to put Caleb Johnson into that group of four at the top.
Kind of, I would have rather saw him run sub 4.5.
Oh yeah, I mean, sure. What do you end up running, a 4.58?
Well, I think it was like 4.61 on TV, but it came down to 4.57 once it was official.
Men, if you've lost your hair, it doesn't mean you can't find it again. Try Hims Hair Loss Solutions, and you'll be joining hundreds of thousands of subscribers who found their hair again. It can be hard for men to deal with hair loss, even though it is common. Luckily, I'm here to provide you with a solution so you don't even have to talk about it. Through Hims, you can restore your hair by accessing their personalized hair loss solutions. Men value many different things about their appearance. But if you're a guy who really cares about your hair and find that it's slowly going away, you might be feeling discouraged when you look in the mirror. And that's where Hims comes in. Check out their personalized hair loss solutions, and you can start seeing your hair grow back in as little as 3 to 6 months. Hims provides you with convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients, like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions, and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back too with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Results may vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
Okay.
And that was like, that's like the one thing where I'm like,
That was even, and the worst part about the, you know, it's so cool being in there live to watch the combine, man. But the worst part is that you don't know the times really until they run this, they run the second time and they put it up on the TVs there and stuff. But even when Caleb Johnson ran that, you know, we had our watches and we were like, ooh, we're like, that ain't going to be good. You know? So I think maybe you're right. Caleb Johnson's really good. He's as far as a pure outside zone runner, he's very, very.
You want that over RJ Harvey?
What?
Are you getting hung up on the age thing with Harvey now?
No, not really. I need to do my final eval on Caleb Johnson, but I find him what I love so much about RJ Harvey is he's impressed me through every part of this process. And I'm very intrigued by his body style. I think he's got, you know, the biggest like quads I've seen in real life since like Doug Martin and, you know, who else? Saquon's got giant quads like that. It's like RJ Harvey's got he's got
D-lineman legs.
What?
He's got D lineman legs.
D lineman upper like quads, yeah, right. But not the D lineman, you know, Not the D-lineman Vita Vea cankles or anything like that, right?
Speaking of large humans in person, holy cow, dude.
Yeah. I think I'm going to have Caleb Johnson ahead of R.J. Harvey anyway. And that's certainly for best ball and for dynasty and stuff. Like, you get the ADPs really out of where, like, R.J. Harvey right now. So Harvey is going, at least on Underdog, at 171. Caleb Johnson's going at 70. He's going 100 picks later. So, you know, I don't think that there should be that big a difference between those two. But
I was going to look at my – I think I have like an inordinate amount of shares of R.J. Harvey in like the origin draft on Fast Draft. I think my portfolio is like ridiculous for R.J. Harvey. It's like 47%. No, 71%. Sorry.
Where are you getting him on average?
He's my most owned running back. End of round two, early round three. ADP's 28. Actually, no, that's end of round three, right? Yeah.
There's 12 people in the fast draft.
Fast draft's 10 people, right?
Oh, is it 10?
Okay. Yeah, 10 people. So 28 is end of third.
Fast draft's fun, man. You guys should go download it. Play the Origins game. So it's a fun game.
Use code Cody and get a $25 double up.
Yep. Okay. And while we're asking for stuff, I guess we're not asking, we're just suggesting, but we will ask this. You should please like the show and subscribe to the channel if you're watching. We're doing the show every day. And when we see the likes and the new subscribes coming in and stuff like that, it gives us the encouragement to keep doing it, you know, because we want you to keep watching and we want to show that we have an audience that will like the show and subscribe and, you know, give a proof of concept that this is something that we should keep doing moving forward. So please like the show, subscribe to the channel. All right, Cody, any other topics you want to get into? I just wanted to kind of ask you what you thought about Quinshon, Travion, all that. And it's because I just wanted to make sure it's like, for ADP reasons on the best ball cheat sheet, which I promise I'm going to send to Bruce just today and just get it up. And if there are other changes that need to be made, I'll just change it. I've tested it enough to where I like it. We'll keep tweaking it. It's just like, we need to get the first version up. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to get it up today. And I'm keeping Travion ahead of Quinshon for now. And if you use the sheet, you'll probably get one of them, because I like the way the drafts go, as we've talked about before, where you can start out with one anchor running back if you can get one of the Saquon Barkley, Bijan Robinson, or Jahmyr Gibbs. But other than that, I want to start drafts with guys like Brian Thomas, Drake London, Jackson Smith and Jigba, Ladd, Terry McLaurin, you know, these kinds of guys, right? Davante Adams, these kinds of players. And then maybe with my fourth or fifth round pick, get into the guy, maybe get in Omarion Hampton, right? And then after that, you can start ripping off the players like, you know, your wide. It's just, it feels so good to have your wide receiver four be like Rashi Rice or something like that. And then, or if not him, like a Jalen Waddle, or, you know, I just want these guys in this range, like Cortland Sutton and Ricky Pearsall and all these guys.
Yep. Yeah, 100%.
And then after that is when you can, after you've picked those guys off, that's when you can get Travion. Like, you've already gotten four to five wide receivers, depending on whether or not you've taken two or one running back at that point. And you can get your running back two to be one of those guys. And then later on through the rest of the deal, there's dudes who are built in here that you might be able to get, like the Najee Harris's of the world, all the rest. But then you get down to the R.J. Harveys and the Dylan Sampsons and the Bashaul Tutins, where they are currently listed. I need to actually change Rico Dowdle here from Dallas to Carolina. I did make the change with him, though. I don't think that – do you think that the Rico Dowdle to Carolina is something that is going to affect Rico Dowdle and or Chuba Hubbard really that much?
I think Chuba's still going to get your lion's share. I think they just needed insurance. They just needed something because they know Jonathan Brooks is going to be a zero. Miles Sanders couldn't answer the bell. Raheem Blackshear has been kind of the guy that's been answering the bell, and Dowdle just comes in. It's going to be a, I wouldn't quite say good duo, but I think it's going to be Hubbard's backfield, and Chuba's going to get his opportunity to have weeks where he starts. And, you know, hopefully he can capitalize on it, but I would still lean Chuba for sure.
Right now, would you prefer Chuba Hubbard for best ball or Joe Mixon?
I think I have to go. You have to go Joe Mixon there.
So I be so
today.
Mixon's ADP is 49. Chuba's is 50.
Today. I think this is kind of the meat shield thing we're talking about, though. Like, this is a draft meat shield. I think this, having Brooks there and having Chuba there, is like, okay, I could see them drafting a running back. Now you bring in a Rico, it's like meat shield, no running back enters chat. Like, just, it's going to be what it's going to be when the season opens up.
Do you really want either
of Chuba or Joe?
Hmm. In a vacuum, would you prefer Omari and Hampton sight unseen as far as his landing spot?
Oh, 1,000%.
So we're not going to get those guys. But just for – in case you get into a draft where Hampton just doesn't – where he's just not there and somebody reaches for him, those are two guys that could be – I don't want to take these running backs like this. I don't want them in best ball.
Yep.
It's like, what are we doing? Why do we spend all of like all this time away from our families and all this money to go to all these events and talk to these people and meet these players and see them and to like to come out and tell people here on the show and everywhere else, like, this is, whenever we say this running back class is just unbelievable, and we're not just saying it for our own health. We need to put that to use. And I'm not going to be taking these. I don't want to be taking guys like this. I don't want to take like James Cook and Joe Mixon and all the rest of these guys when I can be loading up on wide receivers. I'm worried about Breece Hall at this point. What do you think about Breece Hall? Would you take Josh Jacobs over Breece Hall? Not that I'm interested in taking either one at their current ADPs. Do you think there's any chance with Aaron Glenn, and I forget Ingerstad, what's the name of him?
Yeah. Last year, I think we were in a good stance on Josh Jacobs, kind of like we were at one point with DeAndre Swift a couple of years ago in Philly when he had his opportunities. You need to know when to pull the plug. I think it's the season to pull back on the Jacobs train. I love Jacobs, but I'm not sure we're going to get anything close to what we got last year.
What about pulling back on Breece Hall, though?
Why are you pulling back on Breece Hall? What did he do to make us pull back?
I'm a little bit worried about.
I understand what you're worried about. I'm just saying I'm not pulling. Like, when I say pull back, I think of like guy reaches apex. You see it could potentially be towards the back end or a shift coming. Then that's that. Like, I understand that Braylon Allen's there. I love Braylon Allen as much as anybody. I had him as running back one for a while in that class. But Breece Hall with Justin Fields, like, we don't think this offense is going to throw the ball 600 times. We think it's going to throw the ball 425 times.
I know.
So I think these backs are going to both get plenty of work. I think they're going to draft a tackle here.
Do they see it as the Sonic and Knuckles kind of thing? Is he going to be their Jahmyr Gibbs?
Oh gosh, that could be great for him.
You think that's great? I mean, I don't know if I think it's great or whether I think it's like, well, I would like him to dominate more the opportunity share than that.
Of course, everybody, yeah, of course, you want to have the guy with the 85% opportunity share like Kyren Williams, but that's not realistic, especially in this day and age of the sport. When last year, if you remember, I think like 9 GMs told us or 9 coaches told us, like, you can't just have one running back anymore; you got to have two. And another spot in New York where it's like they've completely surrounded that backfield with Braylon and Breece and Isaiah Davis. And it's like, all right, well, you're not going to get a rookie running back in the first 3-4 rounds going to New York.
No.
And you kind of know what that looks like when everyone's healthy. It's Breece's backfield, right? Remember, Braylon got a lot of opportunities, and then all of a sudden Braylon got phased completely out. And then, you know, Breece was Breece. But I think you get a healthy Breece, and you have the Jets either draft like a Tyler Warren or a Booker, Tyler Booker, or a Membu or something, and you shore up another piece of the offense, which is, I think, is the direction they go in this draft, I think it only enhances – in all, any three of those picks enhance Breece Hall's upside.
Yeah, all right. So – and then just one final thing. Again, I don't think we're going to get these guys, but in case, this would be in case they fall. I know what you're not going to take McCaffrey over Breece.
No.
I think.
Where's that ADP? Is that 23 or 24?
So McCaffrey's Christian McCaffrey's ADP right now. No, it's much higher. Like it's much. He's going right now as RB 6. And that's not, you know, that's not necessarily how we have it, but that's where he's going right now. His ADP is like 1-2 turn.
So bad.
I mean, he's going ahead of Derrick Henry.
So bad.
Jonathan Taylor.
So bad.
He's going 14 spots ahead of Breece Hall. So there's no way you can really flip those guys. But Josh Jacobs right now is going ahead of Breece by a fairly significant margin. So
maybe I'm just an idiot, but it's like, I don't understand. Like, I guess in best ball, you can tell yourself a story and stuff. It's like, all right, well, you know, but you're spending round one draft capital on.
No, it's early round two on McCaffrey. Okay, well, 14.
He gets to say you pick him at 12 or 13, 1-2 turn. You're yep. spending first round capital in a draft on a guy like that. When like the only way I can wrap my head around McCaffrey at this point is to say, well, I know I'm going to have a couple dynamo games, but for me, I'm like, well, okay, you might have two dynamos. You might get 2 35 point games this year, but
or you could
play in 8 games.
You could. I mean, it's within the range of outcomes that you get 8 dynamo games.
And there's also the same equal opportunity that he misses 12 games that he would have 8 dynamo games. That's where I'm at. Like, I think there's much less risk in so many other guys than to be like, yeah, 30-year-old McCaffrey's going to win me this best ball tournament.
Speaking of the 49ers, so here's this one. So you're asking this, what are the odds that Mac Jones gets right under Shanahan and takes over this job for good if an injury happens to Brock Purdy? So that's the new. So I was found it kind of interesting. So was it a 2-year, $7 million deal?
Yeah, just a little.
They're paying him like a stone cold backup. Yeah. You know what I mean? They're paying that dude like, and to be completely honest, man, that's all he needs to get paid like right now, because something happened with Mac Jones to where sometimes you just wonder, like, how do they get broken? Because Mac Jones is now broken. I just think it's so wild, though, that I don't know if I have a tinfoil hat on and, you know, I'm just one of these crazy people that'll never accept, I still think that Shanahan wanted him and got Trey Lance foisted upon him.
Yep.
Right? So isn't it wild now that this is a dude who they was that it was that it that was it was that it two three that was at three right
Wilson was at two
yeah so that was at three and the Mac Jones was inconsistent.
It still always should have been Justin Fields, just so we're clear, at two, and it would have been because now Fields is a Jet. Should have always been Justin Fields at two.
Well, wild how these things happen. It's like the two guys that were in consideration are now like, now Trey Lance is withering away and you have Mac Jones on a 2-year deal behind the guy, maybe in that same class that was Mr. Irrelevant.
How many? Oh my God.
You know what I mean? It's like people say, like, you know, they're saying like, you had a bad evaluation on this guy. It's like, well, yeah, everybody, like, look at the NFL. They're bad. They're bad at picking quarterbacks too. They're bad at developing them, at least something. But I've said that there's a, I don't know. Shanahan's one of these guys where it's, I don't think Mac Jones is like, I don't think he's as bad as he looked at the end of his time at New England. And from what we saw, the glimpses of, I think you were live there at that game. Was that Minnesota versus Jacksonville?
Yeah, that was, That was a rock fight, a brick fight.
Yeah, that was a doozy. At first, you're like, man, Mac Jones looking good. He's got some swag. You know,
I literally remember texting you. I was like, man, this guy's got some aura. Minnesota's in trouble here. And then it was like, psych.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, man. Shanahan is different. There's a reason, first off, he liked him. There's a reason that Shanahan's had success with these white pocket quarterbacks like Kirk Cousins, like Matt Ryan, like Brock Purdy. Like, I'm not so fast to just be like, yeah, it's the, you know, the road's at the end with Mac. I do think this is the last opportunity, though. I will say that. This is the last real opportunity for him to, like, elevate. If he's going to elevate and get back to, you know, Mac Daddy, it's going to happen under Shanahan.
I'm not sure it's the same kind of glow up that these dudes get from going to work with now Kevin O'Connell or Sean McVay. Is it? Do you still see it as the same?
Well, Darnold was in San Fran the year before he went to Minnesota.
That's a good point.
So, I know O'Connell gets all the credit for that, but you could tell yourself a story that there was some advancement in his progression while he was in San Francisco. We just never saw it.
Yeah. No, fair enough. I don't think it's likely. I think that they're gonna have to get something done with Brock Purdy and commit to him in some kind of way. And I think it would be hard to, you know, justify doing that and then starting Mac Daddy over him. But we'll see. So staying in the western portion of our great United States, going to Denver. Evan Engram is going to sign a 2-year deal with the Broncos. Whenever I first saw this, I'm like, that's interesting, because we knew that there was a tight end need, but the general kind of thinking was that there was all the talk among the Denver cockamamie media circles that make reports that Gronk is going to come, what Sean Payton was looking for was that joker role, right? A tight end who could not Taysom Hill, because there's not really, you know, you don't really have
to. He never called the tight end position a joker. He just said, we're looking for a joker.
But isn't that – well, I would think if we're playing like fantasy football or something, the joker would be classified as a tight end.
Well, I mean, I kind of took it as a weapon of some sort, like just a weapon of some. I know Taysom maybe is like the ultimate, you know, joker, but like, I think you could tell yourself a story that Kamara's a joker.
Well, okay.
And so that's why the one I go to is Travion Henderson.
Oh, but that's not a joke. I think a joker is a guy that you can align at H-back and fullback and tight end, and who can catch the football and who could do some things, right? I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe a joker is just an offensive playmaker. I've always heard that associated with more of the type of player that I described.
I totally understand what you're saying, but also like that doesn't explain Tyler Warren.
That explains
a little bit of Colston Loveland. And if you're saying it doesn't explain
Evan Engram.
It doesn't explain any running back. And then they go out and pay Evan Engram $11.5 million per year for 2 years. I don't think they're going to spend a draft pick on a Colston Loveland as a joker. No. Like, what's the joker then? That's why my brain initially –
they might not be getting it.
Loveland or Henderson, and now it's just Henderson. My mock that's going to come out tomorrow has Henderson.
Okay, I think we have a different idea of what he was meaning when he was saying that he's looking for. I was kind of thinking he wanted a tight end that was Taysom-y, but because what he went on to say was he was talking about that it's like we have these buckets, right? And this is a need bucket that we have, is to be able to exploit the middle of the, you know, exploit the shorter area in the middle of the field, get the ball out quick to those spots, right? We can't be leaving those yards on the table, and we need one of those jokers. Maybe he did mean just an offensive weapon, a versatile offensive weapon that could be like a Trey Henderson. And by the way, is he going by Trey now?
I don't, man, you know how these guys be like at the combine and stuff, like it's Travion and then all of a sudden it's Trey on the sheet of paper. And then when you get there and you see his name tag, it says Travion. I don't know. Okay. Whatever he's announced that on draft night in round one to the Broncos is what I'm going to go by.
That'll probably be right. Okay. Let's see. Anything else we need to wrap? Okay. So rap sheet, Khalil Herbert, 1 year deal.
So I put a bunch of these nuggets in here. We don't have to go through them all in the sense of breaking them down. But what I threw them in here was just like instant thought, instant reaction. What does this mean in the landscape of fantasy? So Khalil Herbert, like 1 year deal to the Colts. Like to me, it's like this is nothing. Like I think Trashman said this morning, I think he said like, oh yeah, Herbert's probably going to get a game to start if we know anything about Jonathan Taylor's health in the last couple of years. It's like Zach Moss-ish, Trey Sermon-ish, Khalil Herbert-ish.
Yeah. And I think that's all they need. So they still have Tyler Goodson on the roster, I think. They've maybe
add a Jaden Blue or something.
Salvin Ahmed. So you could – I think they could still – where are their picks? Let me go to Tankathon real quick. Where they pick – they pick at 45, at 80 in the fourth round. They have one – they just have all their traditional picks, man. Old Chris Ballard, one pick in each round, old school. So, yeah, they have plenty of ammo to go get, you know, one of these running backs that they want. I think that they probably will take – maybe it's such a good class. I think they might take one.
Jay Blue, baby.
Jaden Blue would be a good one. All right, let's see here. Jordan Schultz reports A.J. Dillon to sign with the Eagles.
Is he dead in the water or what?
Yes. Yeah, dude. To me, it's like to me this only matters in how it would affect Will Shipley as just a total. Do you see what kind of efficiency yield handcuff do you see Will Shipley as this year if there were anything to happen to Saquon?
Okay, so Saquon goes down. You enter the year with Saquon, Dillon, and Shipley.
I think that's all they have.
Saquon's on a 4-week IR for a high ankle sprain. Shipley gets – well, first off, they probably bring in some donk, but Shipley's going to get 50%, and then it'll be split up between whoever else is on the roster at the time, whether it's Dillon or like a, you know, Delvin Cook type of a situation, type of a thing. Not actually Delvin, but you know what I'm saying. Maybe 60%.
I might rather have Dalvin Cook right now
than A.J. Dillon. Yeah,
A.J. Dillon
behind that offensive line, I'd rather take Dalvin.
Yeah,
because Delvin's going to at least find the hole and be able to, you know, slither. And he's Delvin. One thing about Delvin, man, that dude always has been a savage inside the 5 yard line. He can always find the end zone. And I know that they have the tush push and stuff, but if that's illegal, I think Dalvin Cook can find the end zone before A.J. Dillon's going to find the end zone. A.J. Dillon's going to run into Mekhi Becton's big butt and fall down.
So, A.J. Dillon, I'm not sure that he
– I mean, I think he played a lot of video games last year. I don't know if he played –
Did he play a snap? Or was the injury before the season?
You know, he has no stats.
Let me – but that – okay. So, he re-signed with the Packers –
he had a neck stinger in preseason in joint practice.
Yeah, he was injured. It was a neck injury, and that was in preseason, August 27th. So he didn't even play. But even like, dude, he looked like his legs were dead in 2023. I mean, if you're gonna give me a dead legged running back, I'd rather have Dalvin.
Speaking of dead legs, let's go to wide receiver really quickly. Mike Williams back to Los Angeles, 1 year, $6 million. Nothing.
It's a huge nothing burger.
All right, here's something that maybe not a nothing. Raheem Mostert, who was cut by the Dolphins a couple days ago, to the Raiders. Does this kind of, you know, they have Zamir, they have Sincere McCormick, now they add Raheem Mostert. They're gonna draft a running back in the first two rounds, right? Like whether it's Judkins or Genty or Amari and something, they're doing something in the top end, aren't they?
Let's see. So
maybe Chip Kelly likes Quinshon, who we talked about at the top of the show.
Las Vegas.
I'd be lying to you if I didn't tell you that I just told you where Trayvon Henderson's going in my mock that coming out tomorrow.
Let me just say this. Let me just say this before you say it. before you even say it. All right? Dun, 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 dun. With the 37th pick in the NFL draft, the Las Vegas Raiders select Quinshon Judkins, running back, Ohio State.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.